different verses in this chapter, so if you keep your Bible open, but it is especially verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Look closely, beloved, at our text, for we have Hebrew parallelism there. That is, the second phrase of the verse is repeating what the first, but bringing it out a little bit further and more clearly. And we can read the text this way: the secret of Jehovah is for them that fear him, and his covenant for them he teaches or instructs. It is the Lord God who has established a relationship of friendship between himself and his people. We call it the covenant of grace. A covenant friendship. Notice with me the divine picture that is set before us. The divine instruction that is given, and the divine operation of how it is applied to us. Beloved, we have a picture in verse 14 of love and intimacy. The word there in the Hebrew for secret is a Hebrew word that signifies a couch. The idea is there of two persons occupying one seat. They are there close together with each other, enjoying fellowship, intimacy. So yes, picture in your minds, perhaps back at home, what we call a love seat, on which two lovers sit and whisper their secret thoughts. Now, perhaps in the olden days, it would be that front porch swing where the two would sit in the evening with a window nearby, parents carefully watching what's going on. But think of that love seat, perhaps in your homes, where you can seat two, but not three. Those two do not sit close together who are bitter enemies. Bitter enemies would stand afar off, not wanting close intimacy or talking with each other. But this love seat is where two speak their secrets of their heart to one another. There is that intimate bond of love and fellowship together. And as you go from that picture, a young man and a young maiden sitting together in a love seat, now go to the next picture, please. That is, picture Jehovah, the covenant God, sitting on a love seat with his people, the elect, in Christ Jesus. It is love that is the basis of this close relationship of friendship. Where that love is missing, friendship is only feigned, isn't it? Think a moment of David with Ahithophel, one of his counselors. Ahithophel was guilty of treason against King David. He joined King David's son Absalom. And in Psalm 41, verse 9, David says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." There wasn't love there in that relationship, and it became obvious in the actions. or think also of Judas. He was one of the 12, the intimate 12 that were always with the master. But Judas did not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, you'll remember how he, for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed Jesus Christ. He came there to the garden where Jesus and his disciples were that night. And he kisses Jesus on the cheek, a sign for the army of the Sanhedrin that came out to take Jesus. And Jesus says unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Feigned love or friendship. It wasn't real. And over against that kind of hypocrites, think a moment of how intimate, loving fellowship that God has with his saints. What do we read about Enoch of old? But that he walked and he talked with God. And he was not, because God took him. Or what do we read about Noah? That he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Or what do we read about Abraham when God comes down in order to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it because of its wickedness? He says, "Should I not reveal these things to my friend Abraham?" God has intimate fellowship with his saints. Do you experience that, brothers and sisters in Christ? To all of his people, God reveals and imparts the secrets of his own heart. He reveals the love of his heart for you and for me. The people of God are taken up into Jehovah's own intimate fellowship and communion in himself. What a picture. Jehovah and his bride, the church, together on the love seat. The covenant is a relationship of friendship. And that is where our teaching of the doctrine of the covenant is different than from most Reformed churches. Most Reformed churches follow the idea that the covenant is really a two-sided agreement. God says, "I'm going to do something if you also do something." What a terrible thing that would be. Think a moment of you're going to a bank. You want to finance that house. And the bank says, "Yes, we will loan you the $200,000 that the house is going to build. But you, on your part, you are going to make monthly payments with interest every month, or else our agreement is broken and we're going to take the house away." How terrible if God would take away his covenant because it's based upon our obedience. What is the basis of the covenant? What is the purpose of the covenant? For most churches, the covenant is a tool or a means in order for us to be saved. But in Protestant Reformed doctrine, biblical doctrine that you find here, the covenant is the end. That is, you and I are saved so that we may enjoy covenant relationship with our God now, already in this life, and especially perfectly when Jesus comes again in the new heavens and the new earth. Very clearly, this text of ours, verse 20:14, is about the covenant. I said it's Hebrew parallelism. And we read there, don't we? "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and the covenant he has with them, and wherein he instructs them." Secret and covenant are one and the same, identical. They refer to the same thing. And that covenant is eternally perfect in God Himself, the triune God. What a life God has in Himself, and He reveals it to us in His Word. The Father loving the Son in the Holy Spirit, and the Son loving His Father in the Holy Spirit. Together they plan, together they work out. Let us make man in our own image. Beautiful fellowship, communication, working together, not at odds with one another. And now the remarkable thing, the remarkable and wonderful thing, that God takes you and me, His elect people, up into that life of His own of blessedness, fellowship. And how did God establish that covenant with us? It is always with blood, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death. The eternal God assumed our flesh and blood. He suffered and He died there on Calvary. Christ Jesus is the center of this communion of fellowship between God and His people. The incarnation is God dwelling amongst us. That is the source of all the covenant blessings that we receive. It speaks of that most intimate fellowship. God and His people. God and His bride sitting there on that love seat. That brings me to my second point. Two things are said about that covenant. Number one, that God makes known His secrets unto us. And number two, that He will instruct us in His way. Picture again that young man and that young woman. What beautiful words of intimacy are whispered back and forth. They're not real loud so that the parents in the house hear it, but they whisper them together. And so our God also whispers in our ear by His Word and by His Spirit. There is an attraction of likeness, isn't it? Over against all the other creatures that were created, even those with life in them, mankind was made different. He was made in the image of God. That is, he would reflect God's image. There was a likeness, an attraction between God and His good creation. And that's why before the fall, Adam and Eve could walk there in the cool of the garden, as the one song says, and we walk with Him and we talk with Him as good friends. But then there was the fall, wasn't there? There was separation. There was enmity. There was darkness. When God comes there in the garden, He has to say, Adam and Eve, where art thou? Because of their sin, they hid from God. It is, beloved, by blood. Adam and Eve tried to cover up their shame with fig leaves. What a flimsy kind of covering that is. With every movement of theirs, they're exposed. But God, in His grace, clothed them with animal skins that comes by the way of the shedding of blood. All of that pointing forward to the Christ. The Christ who shed His blood for you and for me. In order that we could be remade, in order that we might have new life, in order that we once again are restored to the image of God with true knowledge and righteousness and holiness. Transformed into God's likeness, there is between God and His bride, the church, that kind of loving attention. And what is the secret that God whispers to his elect people? It is the theme, I have loved thee with an eternal love in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ Jesus is the substance of the secret of Jehovah, now made known unto us and made known only to his elect people. I love you. I have made a covenant with you. I have established it, as God said to Abraham, I will establish my covenant with thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. I love thee with an eternal love. That's why we are redeemed, because of God's electing love. He set his eye upon us before we were formed in the womb, before the beginning, the dawn of creation. And he gave us to his Son, Jesus Christ. We are transformed. Yes, love is that, isn't it? The bond of perfectness. God cannot be bound together with a sinner who hates him. But God is bound together with his elect children whom he has transformed from children of Satan into children of God. So that's the secret that God makes with his church, his bride, on the love seat. But second of all, and I will make my covenant known as I instruct or I teach you. I want you to see, first of all, that in that instruction is all about his covenant. How important that is for us to see this morning in baptism. It's God's covenant. He alone established it. He alone maintains it. He alone will perfect it. Not an agreement where two are at odds with each other. Not where it is our obedience that somehow saves us. God did not come to Abram and say, let's make a deal. I'll do this if you do this. But God came to Abram and he comes to each one of his elect people. And he says, I will establish my covenant with thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. That's what God does. That's God's part. And our part, beloved, as the bride sitting next to our God on the love seat, as his friends, we are to love. We are to serve him. With our whole being, we are to live for him and obey him. How blessed it is that God's covenant is not just with one individual here and with another individual there. But what did God say to Abraham? I will establish my covenant with thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. Yes, of course, even in our generations, there is the twofold seed, isn't it? There are those who are raised in the covenant sphere, who receive covenant instruction in the church and in the Christian school and in the catechism classroom, but who turn their back on it. How sad. You could probably think of several instances in families that you know of, even as I can. They are Ahithophels. They are Judas. They seem to be one of intimacy, yet it's all hypocritical. They turn their back on God just as Ahithophel turned his back on David and as Judas turned his back on the Lord Jesus. While there are those reprobate children in our generations, what we celebrate is that the Lord continues his covenant not only with us, but with our children and our children's children. You have here today grandparents celebrating again another covenant child given unto you. And that covenant that God forms with us is an unbreakable covenant. Even though we violate it continually, don't it? We violate it daily. Isn't that the picture of God with his people in the Old Testament? No, they did not break God's covenant. They violate it with sin and rebellion. But what does God do? Because it's unbreakable covenant, he doesn't just leave them there in the desert to die. But he turns them around in their generations and he brings them into the land of promise. And that is what God does with all of his elect people. We do not break that covenant because it's God's covenant, unbreakable. He established it, he maintains it, and he will perfect it in the new heavens and the new earth. And my covenant, for them he teaches and instructs. How does he teach? How does he instruct you and me as his bride? He does so by his word and spirit. He opens us a line of communication between us. He speaks to us in his word. And as we read his word, we respond, don't we? Do you see the beauty of the worship service? This dialogue that is all the time going on. God speaks to us and we respond with either a statement of faith or with a song or with a prayer or with a hearing ear or the giving of our gifts. Jehovah God with his elect bride on the love seat, whispering, speaking to one another. We are part of that covenant because God has sovereignly and individually chosen each of us before the foundation of the world. He comes and says unto us, "Seek ye my face." And then we say, "Thy face will I seek." God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that has been shed once and for all on the cross. Our sins blotted out. And you and I have been called by his Holy Spirit out of darkness into that new life because our names were written there in the book of life. And we are not only separated out and unto our God, but then we are kept there by the power of God unto salvation, a salvation that is prepared for us in heaven, so that we may live in intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus now, already, and forever in the new heavens and the new earth. God is instructing us in the way that we should go. And God uses means for that instruction, doesn't he? God used the means of instructing these truths, imparting these truths to us by godly parents in the home. And that's why one of the questions that came to Tyler and Jennifer this morning, as well as to each one of us as parents: will you bring up your children in the aforesaid doctrine with all of your power to the utmost of your ability? What a vow you make there. And how sad to see at times God's people breaking that vow So instead of continuing to bring their children up in those aforesaid doctrines that are taught in the Word of God and the articles of the Christian faith and taught here in this Christian church, they leave it for another church because it's friendlier, or because it appeals to them more, or because they're angry about something. How awful. God instructs us in the truths of His Word by godly parents in the home, by the instruction that you and I receive every Sabbath day in the church, and on Wednesdays that the children receive in catechism, and soon the societies that will begin. Are you anxious? Are you looking forward to being part of one of those societies, whether you are young people, whether you are young adults, whether you are older folks like me? Are you eager? Are you looking forward to those societies that will begin, and will you attend them? That instruction by God takes place through the means of parents and through the church and through our Christian schools. Sounds a little bit like my last sermon here, doesn't it? From Deuteronomy chapter 6. Our Christian schools shaping our children in every subject according to the Word of God so that they're prepared to live as God's people, God's bride out there in the world that we are living in now. The secret of the Lord is made known to those who fear Him. And His covenant for them, He teaches or instructs. He is saying to us, I am your God, and you are my people. You are my bride. You are my sons and my daughters in whom I delight. And notice then, thirdly, the divine operation. It is because of God's covenant friendship that He has established it, maintains it, He perfects it, that we are His people, His bride, that He loves us, He blesses us, and we love Him and praise Him and listen to Him and live for Him. We fear God. It is when we love and we serve God in deep devotion that then we will experience the wonders of His grace, the mysteries of salvation, and the secrets of the Lord, just as in marriage. Can God withhold from us anything? You and I, who are His bride, whom He loves. No, He reveals Himself. He makes us known in all of His names, in all of His attributes, in all of His wonderful works. We fear God. Boys and girls, when we read that phrase in our text, that we fear God, does not mean that we're afraid of God, but it means we stand in awe of our God. We stand in reverence of our God. And that love and that intimacy that we enjoy with our God is enjoyed not, first of all, as equals. We're never equal with God, but we are servants. We are servants. And God puts His laws in our minds and He writes them upon our hearts. Listen as we hear that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The secret of Jehovah is for them that fear him. And so we approach our God, we speak to our God in humble confession. Who are we to be so loved by our God? Well, because God forgives us all of our sins in this psalm, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Or again, if you've got your Bibles open, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. We are able to sit there on the love seat with Jehovah God because our sins are blotted out. And the obedience and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is freely given or imputed to us. Who are we to be friends with Jehovah God? We are able to because his covenant for them, he teaches or instructs. I want you to notice in our text, for them. God's sovereign election is for his whole church, not so many individuals, but the whole church. And Jesus Christ will not come again until every member of his church has been born and has been saved. Who are we to be friends of God? Well, the Lord teaches us. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and the covenant of Jehovah to them whom he teaches or instructs. And so we whisper to the Lord this morning as we hear his word, Lord, teach me. Teach me in the way that the Lord chooses for me. The way of love, the way of service, the way of obedience. Oh, on that love couch, Jehovah and his bride, the church lives in faithful trust and hope in God's mercies. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Or again in verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Do you see that picture on the love seat? Jehovah God sitting next to his people. And David says here, my eyes are always upon him who loved me and who saves me. And is going to perfect me, the bridegroom. And because we're sitting on that love seat with Jehovah, our God, we're going to be careful how we behave ourselves. We're going to live antithetically. We've been separated out from the world and unto our God in Christ Jesus. Because on that love seat, there's only room for two, isn't there? Not a threesome. No others may take our heart and our affection, but Jehovah God alone. Our souls will lodge in his goodness, and we are at home with our Lord. with godly thoughts and ways. We live antithetically, not unto the world, but unto Jehovah God. Loving our God in Christ Jesus, we hate and we flee from sin. And enjoying this, yes, Tyler and Jennifer and each parent here, these are the things that we want to pass on to the next generation so that the Lord will instruct them also, using you as godly parents, using the church services, using our Christian schools, that our eyes are ever toward Jehovah, our husband, our Redeemer, our friend. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, what a beautiful text. That we may know that thou art always for us. What a wonderful truth. That thy covenant is an unbreakable covenant, even though we violate it many times in our life. We are not cast off, but thou wilt turn thy elect saints around, calling them back to thyself, securing them, preserving them unto eternity. Receive our thanks, Father. Bless each of our families then. Bless this young infant that has been baptized. Teach each one of us who we are by thy grace, friends of God, children of God, the bride of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.